الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان الله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with so many blessings. And as is often the case, we often lose sight of the biggest blessings because they're so pervasive in our lives and they're so obvious to us that we fail to appreciate them. One example of this I'm going to share with you. But first, I'm just going to give a little paradigm so that you can understand how much of a blessing this truly is. You see that in the world, one of the things that some people enjoy doing is they like making puzzles. And maybe there's some people in the room that enjoy making puzzles as well. Essentially, what happens in a puzzle is that you open up the box. Normally, the box is labeled. Sometimes, for children, it's like a four-piece puzzle. And maybe when you get to be a little older, there might be like a 50-piece puzzle. And when you get to like teenagers who really get into these puzzles, or sometimes older people who get into these puzzles, they'll go up to like 1,000 pieces. Even I've seen 10,000 pieces. I've seen one 50,000-piece puzzle. And when you do these puzzles, or if you spend a little bit of time with these puzzles, or you know anyone who does these puzzles, what happens is you open up the box and it has all these pieces everywhere. It's designed that way, right? Obviously, it doesn't come all constructed. What would be the benefit of the puzzle if the whole thing comes constructed? It's all these pieces just completely in disarray. And then what happens is, when they want to make the puzzle, you can't make the puzzle independently. You have to have a model. And what happens on the model is the actual box, or sometimes if it's a really complex puzzle, they'll give you like a big poster. But let's say it's the box. So what is the box? The box has a picture of how the final puzzle should look. And what happens is you look at the picture, and then you identify the pieces. And then you go back to the picture, and you kind of match the pieces. You go back to the picture, you match the pieces. And only with the picture are you able to make the puzzle. I don't think anyone, how could you make a puzzle? If I gave you a 1,000-piece puzzle, 5,000-piece puzzle, and I just said, make this puzzle, you would say, what are you talking about? I have no idea even what it's supposed to look like. Where am I going to put the pieces? How am I going to organize anything? How am I going to know what goes where? Maybe I can identify that a couple pieces belong to the edge, but besides that, there is no way you could make the puzzle without knowing what the puzzle is actually supposed to be. It would be too complicated. So everyone depends upon the fact that they have a model. They look at the puzzle, they look at the picture of the puzzle, they see what it's supposed to be, and then based on that, they're able to put the puzzle together. And honestly, most people cannot put the puzzle together even with the model. It's all confusing and very, very complicated, and it's a skill. A person has to have a skill in order to be able to put together such a puzzle. SubhanAllah, now with this example in mind, we should appreciate something, and this is really what I was trying to get at, which is that life is more complicated than a 10,000-piece puzzle. Life is actually more complicated than a 10,000-piece puzzle because there's so many variables that are present in our lives. Every day you wake up, you have to make certain decisions. Every day you go to bed, you have to make certain decisions. You have to make decisions about little things in life. You have to make decisions about big things in life. You have to make decisions about where are you going to allocate your time? Where are you going to get a job? What are you going to go into? There's so many pieces to the puzzle of life. 10,000 would be a gross underestimate of how many variables there are even within a year, let alone our entire lives. One of the greatest blessings upon us, however, one of the greatest blessings upon us is that we actually have a model. We have something we can look at which tells us what life should actually be. These 10,000 pieces that I'm trying to put together, what am I trying to produce? And what is that model? That model is the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states it in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. SubhanAllah. I don't think we appreciate this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Verily for you in the Messenger of Allah is uswatun hasana. Uswatun hasana means like the perfect model, the perfect example. Now, why is that important? Because see, what we don't get is what would life be without the model that we have? And we don't understand that because either we were born in Islam, we've had this model from day one, so we've always known that I've got, this is the picture that I'm trying to make, right? I'm trying to put together this portrait, which is called the Sunnah. This is how I need to live my life. This is where the pieces of my day should go. So either we're born with that, or we recognize it at a young enough age that we fail to appreciate what life would be without that. And you actually have to come into Islam to appreciate that. If you have conversations with people who are searching, for example, people who are looking for Islam, or people who are even asking the deeper questions in life, if you sit down and you speak with them, you just appreciate very quickly how much chaos is in their minds, how many pieces they're trying to figure out. Like, for example, you come to a Muslim, you ask three very simple questions, you know, where did I come from? Allah created me. What am I doing here? This is a test. Where am I headed? There's a day of judgment. I'm going to be judged. My deeds are going to be accounted for. There's Jannah and Jahannam. Those are so obvious to you and I. But can you imagine if you didn't even have that simple picture of what the purpose of our existence is and how we're, what direction we're headed in and what this journey is all about? Can you just imagine how much confusion would be in the mind? How much we would be uncertain about so many things about our existence? It's such a great blessing, which we fail to appreciate. And we miss it because it's so obvious to us, particularly for the person who's striving in their deen. It's so obvious to us that, like, here's the puzzle. Here's the final model. It's the Sunnah. It's the Prophet Sallallahu. He is the perfect model. Every piece of his, you know, again, 10,000 is a gross underestimate. If you look at all the variables in life and you look at him across a 23-year period, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're talking about, I don't know, billions, millions of different variables. Every single piece is exactly where it should be. And not only that, but he was placed as the model for us. Because the Quran is saying, verily, laqad is like a very strong way by which you can emphasize something. Verily, fi Rasulillah, in the Messenger of Allah, uswatun hasana, is this perfect model for you, is this perfect example. So here we are in life, we're trying to figure out every day, we're trying to figure out simple things like, what do I do with my time here? What do I do with my energy here? What do I do with my wealth? What should my goals be? What should my desires be? What should my aspirations be? How am I going to structure my life? SubhanAllah, everything is present in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And that is such a big blessing because it removes so much stress from our minds. Imagine, like, you can go into Barnes & Noble's, right, the bookstore, and they got all these different sections on help and guidance and how to have a good day and how to have a good night and how I should sleep and how I should eat and how I should maintain relationships with people and how can I be a successful business person? How can I be a successful student? How can I be a successful a citizen? All these different books. But none of those are models. Those are all people attempting to take a tiny piece of the puzzle of life. They put together and stitch together the pieces based on their own understanding in their own mind. You have to understand, where is that coming from? They're not looking at a model. They're thinking in their own mind what it should be. maybe this piece should go here, maybe this piece should go here, maybe this piece should go here. They produce a little book, and it's just one little tiny pixel of the whole picture, of the whole puzzle. Because they're just showing you how four pieces fit together out of, like we said, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pieces. So they're telling you like a tiny bit, how should I eat? Or how should I have this? How should my period of my day be spent? And how should I work? How should I interact with others? It's very, very, very limited. But it's not the ultimate model. It's their idea of what's right. And they're limited because their age limits them. They might be 40. They don't know what's going to happen at 60. How can they tell you? By the time anybody who's 40 at 60, they say, at 40, I didn't know. I mean, ask yourself the question, were you wise at 20? At 20, you thought you were the wisest person on the planet. Nobody knows what's going on. My parents don't know what's going on. Nobody, let me tell everybody what the world should be, right? But eventually you get to be 40 and you're like, wait a minute, at 20, I had no clue what was going on. 40, now I know what's going on. And then by the time you're 50, you look back at 40 and say, I should have done this, this, and this instead. When somebody writes a book and tells you how to live life, or somebody goes on a podcast, or somebody goes and produces a blog, they're limited by their circumstance, their experiences. They're limited by time, place, culture, age, experiences. They're only telling you a reflection of how they think the puzzle should look, and that's not even the whole puzzle. It's a tiny, tiny corner of the puzzle. Honestly, it's just a corner because they're dependent on the edges when they're telling you what's going on. They could never tell you what's happening in the middle of the puzzle. They're really dependent on the edges. So, and then, by the way, the proof is in the pudding. Because every 10 years or so, those books all go out. Honestly, just do a little experiment. Go back to, 2000, okay? And look at the New York Times bestseller list of 2000. And find any self-help book, okay? And open it up and read it. It will be like a joke book. Be like, people used to think this? Like, wait a minute, the world has changed so much that this book is actually worthless. Nobody reads it today. Honestly, and nobody reads it today. You can buy it they'll give it to you for free. You can buy it for 50 cents in a used bookstore. Nobody's reading any of that. It's time limited. It's based on their experience. It was based on their age. It was based on their culture, based on their understanding. But everybody's biased by the world around them. So all these people out there who either have no puzzle, like no model, I mean, everybody has a puzzle. Every day you make a decision where you're going to put the piece of this minute and that minute and this minute and that minute and this hour and that hour. They don't have a model by which they can understand how to put the puzzle together. They're left guessing. Now, can you imagine if I said to you, your whole life is dependent upon putting this puzzle together, but you have no model and you're going to be judged based on how you put the whole thing together? We would be lost. You would be so frustrated trying to put the pieces together that you would just be completely lost and eventually you give up. And subhanAllah, that's what you find in the outside world when you talk to people who are really seeking. For example, talk to somebody who's just beginning to think about Islam, just starting to think about Islam or just beginning, or is going on a journey and has been searching. That's even better. They're searching. And when you talk to them, you can see just how chaotic the pieces are, the big pieces, not the small pieces. The small pieces are much more complicated. Just the big, big pieces, like where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? These three questions, these are the big pieces. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I headed? These are, again, the big pieces. Even these pieces are in just utter disarray. And what ends up happening is it just becomes very tiring to have to live life that way. To always have to try to figure out where the pieces go, but to never really know if this is how they fit together, and even if you're on the right track. And people fatigue. And you see this in life. People fatigue. They get tired. They get burnt out. They get saddened by life because they don't have that big picture. But subhanAllah, we have been blessed with such a thing, which is essentially really what I'm saying is we have the deen, right? Because the deen is giving us all of these big pieces. It's telling us, here's the big picture. These are the five pillars. By the way, think about it for a second. Even having five pillars is such a big blessing. It's when the Prophet ﷺ says, Islam is built upon five, it's worthy of reflecting on until the day of judgment. Because it's telling you, like, These are the big picture pieces that need to fit together in life. And if you put these pieces where they belong, then the tiny, tiny, tiny pieces will eventually fall into place. Correct? I mean, if you're making a puzzle, you'll see when people make puzzles, they'll try to make like, okay, this is a dragon, so we got to put the dragon together. Oh, this is the house, let's put the house together. Oh, this is a football, let's put the football together. If we can put the football together, all the other pieces will eventually come around. So imagine if you have a puzzle and it just has five big concepts or five big regions, right? So you know that Islam is built upon five. There's Salah. I got to just put Salah into place, and if I put Salah into place, so many of the pieces will fit together. Okay, there's fasting, the month of Ramadan. SubhanAllah, how much of an anchor that is for us. How much of a reset that is for us. You know, even if our lives as Muslims, we sometimes lose sight of the benefit of our deen, even if our lives were in a little bit of disarray before Ramadan, all of a sudden Ramadan comes and forces us to put all the pieces together. And we can see, we saw the effect. I mean, SubhanAllah, it was just a few weeks ago that we saw the effect of Ramadan. Similarly, I know how I should deal with my wealth. I have this concept of zakah. Zakah alleviates so many questions for me. Honestly, look at all the struggles that go on in society. How wealthy should the wealthy be, right? How much did the needy actually deserve? All of these questions are answered in Islam. The whole notion of zakah, honestly, a wealthy person who doesn't have Islam, but knows that there's some responsibility on their shoulder, which I think any sensible person could come to that conclusion, would be shaking in their boots. Like, how much do I really have to give? And from what should I really give? And what's my responsibility? What's a minimum? SubhanAllah, Islam establishes that minimal standard. Islam tells you, if you have excess wealth, you need to give 2.5% of it. If you give 2.5% of it, your minimum responsibility is alleviated. However, you should give as much as you can. Give more, it's better for you. What a great blessing. Just think for a second. Right away, my finances are all taken care of. I can sleep at night so long as I fulfill the mandates of zakah, and I could be even more excited if I go beyond that. That's a huge blessing. That piece of the puzzle is solved. Similarly, we know that we have to go for Hajj, right? It becomes a goal. Sure, there's so many travels that we undertake. There's so many travels that we undertake, whether that's the travel for work, or that's a travel for family, or it's a travel for taking a break, or it's even just a travel to get educated or learn something. But I've got this one massive journey that forms this piece of the puzzle. I've got to go for Hajj. I can aim my life around that. I can plan a certain part of my life around that. Now look, you look at this. I mean, I'm just speaking very, 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 very wide lens here. Salah, Sawm, Zakah, Hajj, these are big, big, big pictures, pictures in the puzzle. SubhanAllah, they're solved for us. And now, that makes life easy, because now around Salah, I have to build my life, right? Around fasting, I have to build my, you know, the growth of my soul and the suppression of my nafs. Around Hajj, I have to build my travel. Around Zakah, I have to build my wealth and how I determine how I'm going to handle my assets. So many of those questions are answered for us. So many of those questions are answered for us. And the beauty of this puzzle is not only do you have the picture, the final picture, by the way, which the Quran is testifying to. It's not me or you, correct? The Quran is saying that you have this excellent example, yani model. You have this excellent model in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you want to think about how you should live your life. And SubhanAllah, that model is so precise that honestly, in every major chunk of the day, it provides guidance. There's no holes. There's no holes. For example, it's 8:30, okay. Let's say at 7:40 today was Maghrib Salah, correct? So 7:40 was Maghrib Salah. There's no debate in my mind as to what's the best thing to do at 7:40. I don't have a question in my head. I know that the number one thing I can do is to pray my prayer. And I know that if I want to take maximum benefit from it, I should show up at the masjid. That's a big deal. And by the way, it's not the case only for that. It's the case for every single time we have to make a decision. And the whole sunnah is preserved. You know, like sometimes, again, like in a puzzle, you would be lost if a little bit was blurry, a little edge here was unclear, you know, something isn't fully matching. But SubhanAllah, the entire sunnah has been preserved. And by the way, that's a sign. It's signified in the Quranic ayah, in the portion of the ayah, because the Quran would never command to something that wasn't possible. The Quran would never command to something that wasn't possible. This is a general principle of our deen. So if the Quran is commanding us that, or reminding us here, it's not a command, it's a reminder. If the Quran is reminding us that we should use the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, or we should take the Prophet ﷺ as the ultimate model, of, as the true example, then essentially what we can take from that is that the example is preserved. Because the Quran would not call us to something other than what was preserved. Meaning the Quran has to call to something that is concordant with what the call that's being made. Just as another example, the Quran mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةٌ أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةٌ O you who believe, enter into the submission كَافَّةٌ completely. O you who believe, enter into the submission completely. This is a command here. What is the command that's being made? O believers, completely give yourself to Islam. Now, when that command is made, it implies something. It implies that Islam is preserved. It implies that there is a complete opportunity to submit. It's not piecemeal. And subhanAllah, the Islam is totally preserved. You have the five prayers. You have the additional sunnah prayers. You have fasting in the month of Ramadan. You have the additional peripheral fasting that surrounds the edges of Ramadan by 11 months. You have zakah, but then you have all the encouragement towards sadaqah. You have hajj, but then you have all the encouragement towards umrah and other types of journeys that you make for the sake of the deen, whether that be gaining knowledge or simply even traveling to go for work. All of these things are embedded in our deen. At any given moment, honestly, if you think about it for a second, at any given moment, you know what you need to do, or at least you know what are the potential options that are in front of me. That is a very, very, very big deal. We don't appreciate it because it becomes second nature and routine to us. But if you go out in the world and you don't have that paradigm, then it becomes immensely confusing because you're trying to put together pieces of a puzzle, which is really just life. Life is one big puzzle. You're trying to put together pieces of the puzzle, but you don't even know what the goal is. SubhanAllah. And not only that, like I said, the Prophet ﷺ actually specifically guides us to little pieces in the puzzle. Like for example, the five pillars and so many other places where the Prophet ﷺ gives us any advice. Now, beyond that, you can even take this one step further. One thing is to have to make the puzzle yourself. But a whole other layer is if somebody comes and tells you how to put together the puzzle. Imagine that I'm, you know that I'm totally into puzzles, all right? Let's just pretend I'm totally into puzzles, and I've just made hundreds of puzzles, right? And you get this puzzle, and it's a challenge for you to put together this puzzle. So what do? You pick up the phone, and you call me, and you say, you know, I'm putting together this puzzle. Can you help me? Not only do I say I can help, I can be there in 5 minutes, because I myself love puzzles. Now I come there, and I can whip together this puzzle so quickly, and I can assist you. Why? Because I've made so many before. And subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ is not just the model, but he created additional models in the Sahaba. And that's also, by the way, phenomenal, because if you go through the Quran, you find that what's unique about the companions is that the companions are actually called to as examples as well. For example, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. Here again, when you're told that this is a generation that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him, they become a model. The Quran also mentions, for example, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ When it's said to them, believe in the way that the people believe. النَّاسِ Believe the way النَّاسِ believe. النَّاسِ means the people. So who's being? What's the address here? The address is made to the kuffar. That when it's said to them, believe the way the people believe. Who are the people? The Sahaba. They're the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. These are the people, meaning this has become the model community. In fact, we know that the Sahaba were the model community. So now what you have is not only do you have the perfect picture of this puzzle, but you actually have an example of tens of thousands of individuals who also put together the puzzle, who were taught by the Prophet ﷺ how to put together their puzzle. And each of them becomes examples as well. So much so that when we're trying to decipher things within our deen, we often rely upon the opinion of the Sahaba, correct? I mean, the Sahaba are the are a key source of guidance for us. They took from the Prophet ﷺ, they put together the puzzle in their own personal lives, and they also become a type of guidance for us. So, subhanAllah, not only do we have the model for the puzzle, but we have the Prophet ﷺ showing the companions how to put together this puzzle in their own lives, giving commentary along the way, according to how they're putting together the puzzle, and then each of those becomes like a star for us, becomes like a model for us. And when you have all of those pieces, it just makes life so much easier. Life is a puzzle. Again, essentially life is a puzzle. You have little pieces and you decide where everything goes. Time is passing, and as time passes, opportunities arise. As opportunities arise, you have to pick up a piece and decide, does it fit here or does it not? And we make decisions every day. Not one decision, not 10 decisions. Hundreds of decisions we don't even appreciate. They're micro decisions. You're making a decision about, am I going to eat now or am I going to eat later? You're making a decision about, am I going to turn left or am I going to turn right? You're making a decision about, what am I going to do at sunset? What am I going to do at sunrise? And so many of these decisions are already highlighted for us within the sunnah. And again, we should appreciate this. And unfortunately, it's very hard to appreciate until you don't have it. And you can ask people outside in the world, if you spend time speaking with them, just how difficult it is to put together life when you don't even know where any of the pieces go. Forget about where the pieces go. You don't even know what the final puzzle is supposed to look like. You're just waking up randomly every day and haphazardly putting this piece there and that piece there, basing it on your own personal experience. And honestly, you don't even know who to trust. Come on, if you wanted to learn about something, just give you a simple example. If I just said to you, hey, I want you to learn how to cook, okay? And you go to the bookstore, and there's 50 cookbooks. How do you know which one's good? How do you know which one can actually guide you to how you should be cooking or how you can produce the best dish possible? Most of the cookbooks come and go. How many are timeless? You can't tell. And even if you had the cookbook in front of you, you can follow the cookbook and you'd have to do it 2, 3, 4 times before you would even be able to tell whether this is a good recipe or not. How many times do you search, you know, what's the best recipe for A, B, or C, and then you realize that that wasn't the best recipe, maybe I should have followed another one. Do you have to ever do that in the case of the sunnah or in the case of the example given by the sahaba? Never. You know right away, this is the best example. Done. Khalas. I just have to submit myself to it, and I know that I'm going to reach my destination. And subhanAllah, what is the destination? That's the other side of it. You go buy a cookbook, they teach you how to cook. You go buy a business book, they teach you how to run a little business. You go buy a book on how to make a garden, you make a little temporary garden in your backyard. But what is the example of the Prophet ﷺ providing? The Quran makes it very clear. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Verily in the Messenger of Allah, Uswatun Hasana is a great example. And then it continues. Liman yarju Allah, for the one who wants Allah. The one who desires, in this case, actually hopes. Let's say hope. Hope is a better translation. The one who hopes for Allah. Wal yawm al akhir. And the final day. Wa dhakar Allah kathira. And remembers Allah extensively. So the example of the Prophet ﷺ is perfect for whom? The one who hopes for Allah, who looks forward to the final day, which honestly is the only day that matters. Look, if you're making decisions every day, I'll tell you that no day matters except the final day, correct? Because every decision made every day is really just for the final day. And all that's really going to matter is the judgment that's made on the final day. Sure, it's contingent upon all the other days, but the only day that matters is the final day. So if you want the perfect model for this puzzle of life to guide to what? For the one who hopes for Allah, hopes for the final day, and who wants to remember Allah extensively, which is really, honestly, the only opportunity in life. The only opportunity in life, which eventually we will come to recognize when we get to the grave, is the fact that we should be in constant remembrance of Allah. Now, that's expressed in different ways. Sometimes it's expressed by being excellent at work. Sometimes it's expressed by being in the masjid. Sometimes it's expressed by the way in which we interact with others. But the point there is still that we're always hoping through our actions and through our words and through our hearts and through our tongues to be in a state of remembrance of Allah. That's what success is in this world. And essentially, that's what the sunnah teaches us. So, subhanAllah, so we're so fortunate. This deen, we are so fortunate to have this deen. And people who call, there's people out there in the world, I'm very unfortunate, but there's people out there in the world that want to take us away from our deen. They somehow think that this is like an achievement, that if they left the deen and they want to take us away from the deen. But always ask the question, if somebody were to ever challenge in that way, anyway, if the dunya challenges us, if shaitan challenges us, if somebody challenges us, what are you giving me in exchange? Fine, I'll grant you for a second that we could ask the question, is Islam where I should be? Is Islam where my focus should be? But what are you trading me? What are you giving me in exchange? Fine, you're taking away my solution to the puzzle, but what solution are you giving me instead? And they never have an answer. They never have an answer. They give you emptiness. They give you emptiness because now life has no purpose. I'm just a random event that occurred, and so I'm just going to come and go. My life doesn't have any meaning. Everything that I do is irrelevant because everything was random. I don't want to go into all of these nihilistic ideas that come up, you know, as a secondary consequence of what they sell you. But my point still remains, we have been given a great, final summary, we've been given this great blessing of Islam. And Islam, one of the beautiful features of Islam is that it is a model for us. Life is a very complicated puzzle, and we have to put together all the pieces. But Islam tells us exactly where the pieces should go. And Islam shows us what the puzzle should look like at the end, in the fact that the Prophet ﷺ is the model, as we highlighted at the very beginning. So this is a great blessing for us, and honestly, we should think about it every day. In fact, just to close this, you know that there's the famous dua, which we've read a few times here, and everyone is aware of. In fact, one time I spoke about it. Every morning and every evening, we're supposed to say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْ إِسْلَام دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدْ نَبِيَّا صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. What does that really tell? What is that really a reminder of? رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. I am content or happy with Allah as my Lord, وَبِالْ إِسْلَام دِينَا, and with Islam as my deen, وَبِمُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَبِيَّا, and with the Prophet as my messenger. Essentially, what is that? That's just a reminder of the model. Hey, I've got a paradigm. Right, I'm not caught up in the box of creation. I see beyond the box of creation. I see that there is a creator, which is my Lord Allah. Right, and literally, Lord is the one that oversees all of creation and brings it to its fruition. But there is a Lord of all of that, the creator of all of creation. I'm happy with Allah as my Lord, and I'm happy with Islam as my deen. Yani Islam is my mechanism by which I make decisions in life. It's what brings peace inside my heart. It's what brings peace within my life. It brings peace within my home. What is Islam? Islam is just the mechanism by which you cause peace. Peace within me, peace within my home, peace in the family, peace in the society, peace in the global civilization as Islam contributes to it. Layers and layers of peace that arise from Islam. So I'm happy with this Islam because it's my model. And I'm happy with the Prophet ﷺ, Nabiya, as my messenger, who essentially acts as a guide that tells me exactly how to put together this puzzle. SubhanAllah. Such a blessing. It's the most basic thing. But honestly, we fail to appreciate it. We get so hyped up on, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I just got a job, let me celebrate. You know? Oh, wow, I just got into this college, let me celebrate. I just got this bonus at work, let me celebrate. Those are blessings. I'm not saying that we shouldn't celebrate them. But there, it's a very, very narrow perspective. Actually, the thing we should be continuously celebrating is the fact that we have Islam. Because without that, we'd be completely lost. It's human nature to get excited about a new job or an entrance into a college or a graduate school or any other event in life. And of course, those should be celebrated. But the bigger picture and the real true celebration should be in the fact that we actually have the clear picture of what we're trying to achieve in this puzzle called life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be able to appreciate this great blessing of Islam. May he allow us to be able to appreciate the great blessing of the Sunnah. And may he allow us to appreciate the great blessing of the Sahaba who beautifully captured this Islam and Sunnah. Wa akhiru da'wana أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.